Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in a wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns. And the ones shot from guns give you something important. Yes, listen to this if you want to have the kind of stamina that Sergeant Preston has. The stamina that pulls him through his rugged Yukon adventures. Both Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat give you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So for the nourishing treat that can't be beat, eat delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Hilda Gordon, gruff but big-hearted, owned one of the thriving restaurants in the Yukon and was known as a rich woman. But the greatest part of her money had come from mining investments, the result of grub-staking men who needed food and tools before setting out for the gold fields. But when Pete Driscoll, hulking and sharp-faced, came to her and asked for money, she turned him down.
Pete, I wouldn't lend you another nickel. I grub-staked you when you came up from the States a year ago, and I never got a dime back. You just wanted to gamble, Pete.
Oh, no, no, Hilda. I'm going to be a trapper, that's what. I need money for a new dog team, a sled, some crafts, and all that. What's so funny? What are you laughing at?
That's funny. You a trapper. You don't know anything about trapping. It's a hard job.
Hard? It can't be so hard when a half-wit like Rocky Tyler can make a go out of it.
Pete, Rocky Tyler may be a little moony about some things, but he's smart about trapping, and he knows where to get furs. Besides, he works at it. Because he's good at trapping doesn't mean you'll be good. I always say, one man's meat is another man's poison. Now let me get back to work, huh?
Oh, Hilda,
it's no good, Pete. I'm not giving you a dime. You can eat on the house if you need food, but no grub steak from me. Bye now.
Why, that
hello there, Jake.
Hey, she said something just then. One man's meat is another man's poison. Huh. If trapping's hard for most fellas, then there's the easy answer. Yeah, meat, poison. Sure, sure, that's it. Gotta get out of here and go see Rocky Tyler. Trapping may be hard for them that have to trap. But me? Well, that goof Rocky's gonna help me.
Rocky Tyler was small and wiry, with the mind of a retarded child. Men made him an object of either pity or ridicule, but he paid no heed to them. His one interest was his team of huskies and his lead dog, Cappy. Together, he and his animals had covered most of the Yukon Territory, and his knowledge of the country and the animals that were in it had made him a valuable guide when he himself was not trapping. He was going to his shack when he saw a familiar figure approaching. It was Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police, and with him was his dog, Yukon King. King bounded forward with a welcome yelp.
Hey, how yeah.
After pawing Rocky, he began to romp with the dog, Cappy, while Preston and Rocky exchanged a few words.
You'll be heading north again soon, eh, Rocky?
Yes, Sergeant. This year, I'm going to go by myself. I'm going to get fox skins. They're good. You're paying a lot for them. Yeah, I'm going to trap all by myself. That's what I'm going to do.
But a short time after Sergeant Preston left, Pete Driscoll came to Rocky's shack. There, Driscoll, trying a friendly approach first, came to the point of the conversation he had started.
And so I decided you and I are going to be partners, Rocky.
Why, I don't want any partner, Driscoll. I get my own furs when I want them.
Just the same, we're going to be partners. I'll make you rich. Well,
who wants to be rich?
I do, whether you do or not. Oh, I like you, Rocky.
Yeah, on account of I got trap lines and dogs, that's why. Now, you get somebody else to be your partner, Driscoll.
No. Didn't I tell you I decided on you?
Never mind the rest.
Make up my mind about something, I do it.
Let go of my coat. You're choking me.
I'll do worse than that if you don't listen to what I say.
Oh.
Now, are we partners or aren't we?
Yeah, we're partners.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Don't act scared, partner. I just want you to take me along with you to where you usually put your trap lines. I don't know that country so well.
That's all you want me to do?
That's all. It's not hard, is it? Not when you consider we're going to get more skins than anybody ever got in the Yukon before.
Rocky Tyler, in his childlike way, accepted the situation into which Pete Driscoll had forced him. Now, weeks later, and many miles from Dawson, he and his self-declared partner were laying the first of their trap lines. While Rocky arranged the steel traps on the ground, Driscoll dissected the carcass of one of the animals that would be used as bait. Rocky looked at Driscoll in surprise.
What are you doing? You're supposed to put that stuff in the traps, not throw it all around like that.
Who's doing this, you or me? I put bait in those traps, see? Those traps are just a cover-up anyway. I'm getting my skins with this.
Pete Driscoll had withdrawn a metal container from his pack. He unscrewed the top and began carefully to pour the contents of the can on each piece of carcass.
Yeah. This is the only way to get furs. Setting up traps and everything is...
What's in that can? What are you doing? It's poison, isn't it? On the bait, I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You can't do that, Driscoll. You can't use poison to kill foxes or anything else. The Mounties say you can't. It's the law.
I know what you're not supposed to do. I paid attention to the law all the time. I couldn't do anything.
Driscoll,
shut up! You've got to learn that I'm the law, Rocky. Me, Pete Driscoll.
Less than a week later, after the first heavy snow of the winter, Sergeant Preston was driving his dogs through the territory far north of Dawson, on his way to a post of the Northwest Mounted Police.
On King! On, you huskies!
He saw a figure approaching from the north, a figure which Preston identified as Joe Dracola, an Indian who lived in the area.
Looking! Hey, Sergeant!
Sergeant!
Joe Dracola Sergeant. Began to speak before Preston could extend his usual greeting.
Sergeant, you come quick. Come with me.
Oh, what's the matter, Joe? What's happened?
You come cabin, quick. Wife, baby, maybe die. Heap sick. Need doctor, man.
What's wrong with them, Joe?
Heap sick. Eat. Get sick. Eat no good. Them heap sick. Maybe die. You come?
At once, Joe. I have medicine with me. Perhaps I'll be able to help.
Them need doctor, man.
The nearest doctor's in the direction from which you came. The post where I'm heading. If your wife and baby need a doctor, we'll get him.
All right, King. Up front, boy.
He lead way.
Do that, Joe. We'll be with you.
On King! On, you hussy!
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, fellas and girls, if you could climb the Klondike Mountain up in the Yukon, it would be fun to listen to the echo of your voice, like this.
Yodely, yodie,
yodely, yodie.
Or like this. Quaker puffed rice, Quaker puffed wheat,
shot from guns.
Am I dreaming? You're no echo.
Oh, I am too.
Why, an echo always calls back the same words.
Oh, it's tiresome to keep saying what other people say.
I suppose it would get monotonous.
Now, if I can eat what other people eat...
Oh, I take it you already know that Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are the famous ready-to-serve cereals shot from guns.
Well, naturally. And Echo hears about them all the time.
Oh, they're famous. It seems like everyone loves Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat because they're so crisp, so toasty nut-like in flavor, and downright delicious tasting.
Makes my mouth water.
And when you top those giant-sized grains of wheat or rice with milk or cream and fruit, it's a dish fit for a king.
Man, oh man, I could go for a heaping bowlful.
Well, that's how millions feel about Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice. And fellas and girls, they're good for you. Furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So for the nourishing breakfast that's a delicious treat, help yourself to Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Now to continue. At Joe Dracola's cabin, Sergeant Preston found the Indian's wife and baby miserably ill. There seemed to be but a slight spark of life in the infant, and it was to the child that Preston gave his first attention. Then, after treating Mrs. Dracola, he questioned her husband.
Your wife said that she and the baby became ill after eating. Is that right?
Maybe. Me not here when I'm eating.
Grub makes sick. Eat only little. Make sick.
What did you eat?
Their meat, caribou stew.
Caribou stew, eh? Was it fresh meat, Joe? Was it, Joe?
No, not fresh. Not too fresh. Me not find caribou. Not able kill caribou. Me find meat and trap.
What?
Not find caribou to kill. Why baby need grub? Me take meat from trap. Make stew.
I see. Well, that's too bad, Joe. But at least I know what the trouble is now. The meat was probably bad, and they have food poisoning. I'll give an emetic, and we'll bundle them as warmly as possible and get them to the post. Oh, get me my medical kit, would you please?
Me get.
Food poisoning, eh? That's bad.
But Dr. McBee at Mounted Police Headquarters gave a new light to the matter. He had spent hours treating the mother and child after their arrival. And now he was in the small room that he used as an office and makeshift laboratory on occasion. He had been making tests on the sample of caribou stew which Sergeant Preston had thoughtfully brought to the post with him. Dr. McBee was grave as he finally turned to Preston.
It's a good thing you used the emetic treatment, Sergeant. You probably saved their lives.
It was food poisoning, then?
Yes, but not in the sense that you mean the phrase.
Huh?
If the meat had been bad, the illness would have been botulism, the usual form of food poisoning. They might have died in a matter of minutes from that.
Well, then what? You mean the meat wasn't bad, Doctor? That's not what made them sick?
The meat was all right. The cold and snow kept it that way. But there was poison placed in the meat, Sergeant. An alkaloid poison that might have proved fatal had they eaten more than they did.
An alkaloid? Well, that could mean strychnine?
Oh, not strychnine in this case, but a poison similar. Do you have any idea how poison of that sort could have been found in Indians' food?
Yes, I know how, Doctor. And it's something I must get to work on at once.
After revealing the startling information to his superiors, Preston, accompanied by Constable White, set out to study the trap lines in the nearby territory. It didn't take long to learn that a poisoner was at work. They found evidence of his presence in many places. For the third time in a single day, they found numerous game animals dead in the snow. Dead not from bullets or traps, but dead seemingly from natural causes, near the bait set away from the traps.
Here are two more, Constable. Look at them.
Whoever's doing this must be insane. Sergeant, you don't think it's an Indian, do you?
No, I don't. They've too much elemental decency for that. So have the Eskimos. This is a white man's work.
If he continues, he could kill every animal in the Yukon, couldn't he?
Yes. I must find him before he does. The future of the people in this territory depend on our preserving the game. Constable.
Yes, Sergeant.
Return to the post and report. I'll have to send word throughout this territory to look for poison bait.
I'll start back at once.
Meanwhile, I'll continue the search. The man or men responsible for this outrage will go back over their trap lines soon to recover the animals they've poisoned. It's possible that he or they aren't too far from here now.
Pete Driscoll and Rocky Tyler were about 20 miles from where Preston and Constable White parted. They were seated around a fire, protected from the wind and snow by a jutting rock covered by a ledge. Pete Driscoll had been proceeding with maniacal abandon. Food had run low, and the sled dogs hadn't been fed in 2 days. Rocky Tyler, with the mind of a child, had also a child's sympathy for animals. The sound of his huskies whining for food was filling him with slow rage.
You shouldn't have put poison on that caribou we shot today. You shouldn't have.
Why not? I need it for bait tomorrow.
You should have fed it to the dogs before you did anything. They're hungry.
Let them eat pemmican like us.
Huh? Well, you got to do something for them, Driscoll. You got to stop poisoning foxes and caribou, too.
Hey, what was that?
I'll see.
Rocky Tyler leaped to his feet and ran to where the sleds and dogs had been anchored. One of the huskies was separated from the others, was lying beside a canvas-covered sled, whimpering piteously. A piece of caribou meat lay near him.
It's Cappy, my best dog. Something's happened to him. Cappy, what's the matter with you?
Cappy was panting weakly, his eyes seeming to see through and beyond his master who knelt beside him.
Cappy, how'd you get away from the line, huh? What's the matter? Cappy. Cappy, boy, don't. You can't. You go, Cappy.
Hey, what's going on over here? What are you carrying on like this for?
He's dying. You're dying, Cappy. And it's his fault. I'd have fed you, Cappy.
Stand up, you goof. What's this stuff you're saying?
Cappy's dying. Look at him.
Well, you don't have to cry about it. You think it was your girl or something.
You see what's beside him there on the ground? You see what it is?
Yeah, meat. Why?
Poison meat, that's what. Because you wouldn't feed him, he broke away and came here to eat poison meat. Your poison meat!
Why couldn't he wait like the rest of the dogs? I'll be feeding him tomorrow like I'm going to feed the rest of them. As soon as we get some fresh caribou.
Poor Cappy.
He's not dead yet. Yeah. And what if he does die? With all that poison in him, he'll make good bait, too.
What'd you say?
I said he'd make good bait. Hey, Rocky. Stand back. Drop that.
Rocky Tyler, his brain raging, had grabbed a heavy stick of wood from the top of the sled. He started toward Driscoll slowly.
But you'll not use him like you said. Not Cappy.
Get back, I said.
I'm gonna kill you, Driscoll. You're no good. You're bad. If the Mounties arrest me, they won't do anything to me. They'll know I should have killed you. You're bad.
Stand back, I said. If you don't, I'll shoot.
I don't care about your gun. You can kill me if you want to, but before you do...
You asked for it. Araki, look. I didn't want to shoot you. I need you. Araki, listen to me. Now, look. Where'd the bullet hit you? I'll try to fix you up. You hear me? I'll try to fix up Cappy, too. He didn't eat much meat. He'll live. Araki, you hear what I'm going to do? Now, look, you got to help me find my way. I don't know my way around these parts. Here, let me take a look at you.
Pete Driscoll, suddenly remorseful because he realized he'd be lost without Rocky, placed his hands under the wounded man's arms and dragged him back to the fire and the protecting ledge of the rock. There he tore pieces of cloth from Rocky's shirt and used them to stop the flow of blood from the man's side. When he'd bandaged the man, he placed him beside the fire and spoke contemptuously.
You're lucky I didn't kill you. But I'm going to when the time comes. I do it now, only I need you to take me where I want to go. You better rest good, because no matter how you feel, we're getting out of here in the morning. I'm going back and look after the trap lines we laid out.
The next morning, Rocky Tyler was weak but able to move. He seemed in a daze as Driscoll spoke to him harshly.
All right, pay some attention to what I'm saying, will you? We're getting out of here.
I don't want to go. I'm sick. I hurt.
Well, I'm sick, too. Sick of your stalling. Now, get on your sled and let's get started.
Where's Cappy? What did you do for him?
I fixed him up, too. He's still alive. He's weak, but still alive. He'll be all right.
I want to see him. I want to take him with me.
All right, take him, only let's get out of here. We're heading south.
Cappy lived, and Rocky, handling the dog, tenderly placed Cappy atop the canvas-covered sledge.
There you are, Cappy.
All right, come on, let's go. Come on, here. Hi.
Then Rocky and Pete started their teams back in the direction from which they had come the day before. It was later that day when Rocky Tyler, in the lead, saw a distant sled coming toward him. A minute or two later, Pete Driscoll also saw the approaching figures as his team reached a slight rise in the trail.
Ho, 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 you no good Melamoose, ho! Rocky! You, Rocky, stop!
I'm stopping! Ho, ho, ho!
Yeah, there's someone coming this way. You gotta get him to go right on without stopping long.
You gotta stop. You have to do that when you meet like this.
I know about that part. The thing is, we're not gonna talk long. And we're not gonna say anything about what we... Hey, wait. Get that dog off the top of your sled, quick.
You mean Cappy?
Yeah, Cappy. Put him under the canvas with the furs. Go on.
But he's...
All right, then I'll do it. Yeah, I'll put him under the furs and cover him. Yeah. Hey, now listen, Rocky, let me handle the talk. I don't want you to say a single word.
Hmm.
What did you say? What are you looking at like that?
Rocky Tyler was looking at the dog that had run ahead of the approaching team and was heading toward him with joyous barks. King, with his great instinct and keen eyes, had recognized a familiar figure and was leading the way to where Rocky stood, transfixed.
Didn't you hear me? I asked what you said and why you're looking like that.
Huh?
I asked you what you said and why you...
King! Hello, King.
King, you call him. This dog is Sergeant Preston's?
Yeah, he's Sergeant... What's the matter, King?
Get him away from me!
King, happy at first to see his friend Rocky, had stopped romping abruptly. He growled and headed toward Driscoll, but passed by and went to the sled where Cappy lay covered up.
Hey, that mutt. What's he doing?
It's Cappy. He knows Cappy's under there. Now, you see, he knows.
Get him away from there.
I can't. He knows Cappy's there.
All right. Tell the sergeant he got poisoned. Say we found poisoned meat on the trail and
that's
all
right.
All right, my gun's ready. Let me handle this. Say hello and that's all.
Hello, Sergeant.
King recognized you way back there. Oh, Driscoll's the name, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pete Driscoll.
I didn't know you were a trapper.
Oh, yeah, I am. Rocky and I are partners. Aren't we, Rocky? Rocky.
Yeah, we're partners.
That's interesting. I don't recall a license for anyone. Better, King. What have you found there?
King was on his hind legs, pawing at the canvas cover of the sled.
There seems to be something under the canvas that interests him. Mind if I look?
Oh, sure. Sure, it's all right. Go ahead. Rocky?
Yeah.
Cappy. Rocky's dog is under there. He's sick.
Cappy's sick? How'd that happen?
He ate some meat on the trail up north and got sick.
I want to see him. Let me look at you, Cappy. Easy, boy. This looks like another poisoning to me.
Poisoning? What do you mean?
There's a criminal or a madman loose up here. He's using poison to kill off the animal. Easy, King. Cappy will be all right. I have an antidote in my kit that'll take care of him.
What are you doing now?
Looking at these pelts you have. There you are.
Why, they're Rockies. Why?
Because I see no sign of trap marks. No sign of bullet holes.
Watch out, Sergeant!
Driscoll, behind Preston, had drawn a gun.
Gonna accuse me of poison, huh? Well, you won't.
Oh. King's leap knocked Driscoll off balance, and the shot intended for Preston went wild.
I'll hold him.
Never mind, Rocky. Driscoll, you're covered. King, hold on to his gun arm. That's it, boy.
My arm, you'll break it.
Rocky, take his gun.
Yes, Sergeant. Oh, give it to me, Driscoll. I have it, Sergeant.
All right, King. Let go of his arm, boy. Rocky, is this man really your partner? You told me you were going to trap alone this way.
Well, he asked me to help him. He was so goofy, he needed help.
You can't say that to me again. Any man who'd poison a dog and... Oh, my side hurts. It's bleeding again, I think.
What happened to your side?
Nothing.
I don't ask you. What happened, Rocky? If you're in pain, lie there on the sled. I'll attend to you after I've taken care of Driscoll.
All right. He shot me. He poisoned Cappy like he did all the foxes and caribou.
All right, I poisoned him. There's no law that says I can't.
No, you're wrong about that, Driscoll. And there's a law that says you can't shoot a man or use coercion.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you after I put on the handcuffs. Put out your hands, Driscoll. Rocky, I'll treat your wound once I've handcuffed this man and tied him to the sled.
Oh, that's all right, Sergeant. I'm not hurt bad. I can wait. Take care of Cappy first, please. And let me put the handcuffs on Driscoll, huh?
All right, Rocky. Here you are. Do it. Watch him, King.
Thanks. All right, Driscoll. I'm doing this for Cappy. There. And there. There you are, Sergeant. The poison he used is on his sled.
There's poison meat there, too.
And poison in his mind, Rocky. But it's the poison of the heartless criminal. He'll have years in prison to get rid of it. You helped me get him before he got me, Ewan King. Thanks, Rocky. Because of that help, the animals in the Yukon Territory will survive. And I'll be able to say this case is closed. Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. My family told me to take the one shot from guns.
Yes, you can count on it. It's a sure thing that everybody in the family goes for the toasty, nut-like flavor of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
Everybody likes the sun-ripened natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into the good natural grain.
It's never coated with factory sweetening.
For example, Dad and Mom may like their cereal not so sweet,
while you fellas and girls may like it very, very sweet.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
The whole family can sweeten them with sugar to suit their own special taste.
So for the cereal the whole family loves to eat every morning, get toasty, flavorful Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Look for the big red and blue packages with the sealed inner lining that keeps them crisp as can be.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, American authorities have notified us to be on the lookout for men who stole $50,000 in bills from Wells Fargo. They sent a list of serial numbers. Here it is. Sergeant, your job is to recover the loot and find the men who took it.
Very well, sir. Did they send a description of the thieves?
No. The only information we have about the men is that they're killers.
I'll do my best to bring them in, sir.
Neither the inspector nor Sergeant Preston know that the loot has been buried beneath a police post on an isolated river. When Preston and King stop at the post, they become targets for the bullets of four desperate killers. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns.
Hello, children. And you mothers, too. This is your friend Aunt Jemima. Speaking of supper tonight, do you ever have pancakes? Golden, tender, melting, light Aunt Jemima pancakes? Easiest supper you can fix. Know why? Because my Aunt Jemima pancake mix is now fluff whipped. So all you do is add milk and stir. Don't beat. Don't overstir. Leave some little lumps in. And you'll bake the lightest pancakes ever. Try my fluff whipped Aunt Jemima pancake mix and serve folks stacks of Aunt Jemima pancakes, lightest pancakes anyone can bake. There's nothing more tempting in this whole wide world than Aunt Jemima's pancakes, light and safe. Have some for supper tonight. Thank you, folks.
This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.